So our reading this morning takes us thousands of years back and thousands of miles away to the world of ancient Egypt. Try and get those pictures in your mind. At the end of the story of Joseph, at the end of Genesis, the Israelites had lived for around 65 years very happily in Egypt. And they've grown massively in number. So much so that the Egyptians start to get uncomfortable, and eventually they overpower them and they turn them into slaves. But no matter what happens to them, the Israelites just keep on growing. So the end of Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh pulls out the drastic measures and he gives the order that every new baby boy must be killed. And this is where our story this morning begins. It's a terrible time of pain and loss for the Israelites, a time when God seems absent. Apparently, that's shown in the fact that God isn't mentioned at all in our story. In our first verse, we're introduced to a Levite woman. And elsewhere, we find out that her name was Jochebed. So at this time, this very dark time for the people, Jochebed becomes pregnant. And perhaps to their horror, she gives birth to a son. Now, Jochebed is a good mum, which is very helpful on Mother's Day this morning. And she did what perhaps many parents would have tried to do. She hid him, first at home, and then later in a waterproof basket that she's made in the reeds by the river. Clearly, she's a woman of courage and ingenuity, but as wonderful as a mother as Jochebed was, she is not who I would like to focus on this morning. I would like us to look at the daughter of the slave-driving Pharaoh, the princess of Egypt. We're introduced to her in verse 5, and we're just told, then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. And I wonder what was going through her mind as she stepped into the water that day. Was she married? Did she have children already? Was she happy? The commentaries note that we are told almost nothing about her. This woman could have been a prominent member of Pharaoh's household, an official daughter, if you will. She could also have been a child from the harem and sort of barely noticed. We'll never know. But what we do know is that when she unexpectedly comes across a baby in the reeds, she knew he belonged to the Hebrews. She knew that he had been illegally hidden there. And she would have known the dishonor and the consequences that would have come from disobeying the Pharaoh of Egypt's orders. But despite all of that, verse 6 tells us the baby was crying and she felt sorry for him. She had compassion. And such was her compassion that it overruled any pride of religion or race or station. And also, it wasn't a fleeting thing. Remarkably, we're told that the princess remembered baby Moses for the whole time that he was with his mother until he was weaned, which in those days could have been 2, 3, 4 years. Then as he got older, as planned, Jochebed brought him to the palace and she did what she promised. She officially adopts him by naming him Moses. Ultimately, she was just as much a good mother to Moses as Jochebed was. And the princess's extravagant kindness here is so significant not simply because she rescues him from death, which is amazing, but also because in her actions toward Moses, she mirrored what God himself was preparing to do for the people of Israel. How so? I'd like us to look at the language that is used. What did the princess do for Moses? And I'm going to do dopey actions just because it helps you to remember them. Okay, so she came down to the Nile. She saw the basket. She heard him crying. She had compassion on him, and she drew him out of the water. Yes? Then I'd like us to compare that language to some verses from the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. And here we find God speaking to a now grown-up Moses at the burning bush. And this is what he said. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of Egypt and to bring them up out of the land. Apparently, in those two passages, the exact same Hebrew phrases are used. And the writer is trying to show us that there is a link between the actions of Pharaoh's daughter for Moses and the actions of God for his people. Specifically, she saw, she heard, she had compassion, and she acted. And I believe that there's three things for us to learn this morning. Firstly, what God was ready and willing to do for the people of Israel, he will also do for us. In the same way that the princess saw and heard and had compassion and acted, Psalm 34:15 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are where? On the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. He delivers them from their troubles. This is truth. Regardless of how things look to you this morning, regardless of how we feel this morning, our God sees. Our God hears. He is not blind and deaf to our frustrations and to our difficulties. He is not unaware of our difficulties. He is not unaware of our hard work that we're putting in. He sees and he hears. Also, our God has compassion for us. God does not roll his eyes when you pray. God is not sick of the sound of your voice. He has compassion for us in the circumstances that we're in. And does he leave it at that? A vague sense of compassion that he feels for us? No. Our God acts with extravagant kindness towards his people. Isaiah 40 reminds us, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And of course, the ultimate proof was the birth of Christ, which was another child who this time came down from heaven because God saw our suffering. He heard our cry He had compassion on us, and so he did what only he could do. He rescued us out of sin and death. If you are moving through a season this morning where it seems that God is silent, is he listening? Can he hear me? And we all go through times like that. Keep the faith. Make no mistake, your God sees you and he hears you. He has compassion and he will act when the time is right. The second thing I think that we can learn, not only is it important that we are aware of the truth that God sees and hears us, it's equally as important that we see and hear what God is doing amongst us. Isaiah 43:18-19. This is God speaking. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Jeremiah 33:2-3 also. This is what the Lord says. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. There's loads. Throughout the Bible, we have countless invitations from God to witness him at work. And sometimes, I wonder if we as a church forget our position, forget where we are. Because we know ourselves, don't we? And I'm trying to think of how could I, you know, what I know about myself is I can trip over my own feet for no reason whatsoever. I can walk into a room and completely forget the reason why I'm there. We know how weak we are, don't we? And yet, how can we know what God, holy God, is doing? And can we know everything that God is doing? No, not even close. But can we be aware of some of the things that God is doing here amongst us? Out in the streets of Haverhill? Yes, absolutely. And sometimes I think we need a bit of a reminder. So we're going to go back and just remind ourselves slightly. To begin with, let's remember the wider context of our story. Baby Moses' family, but this is the wider context. While all these things are happening, we're still in the middle of the pain. The slavery, the lashings and the killing of children. We have got one Israelite family who are perhaps vaguely aware that God has worked to save their child. But the wider nation of Israel are still, you know, working their fingers to the bone, building statues of Pharaoh or whatever he's making them do. To them, God seems completely absent at this point and for years to come. You know, the burning bush and Moses' call to action, it wasn't till he was 80 years old. And we're told at the end of chapter 2, during that long period, the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out to God. From their perspective, God is silent, is absent, is inactive. But just because they couldn't see it didn't mean that it wasn't happening. And I think that sometimes we forget that we are not like the Israelites in our story this morning. As in, we are like them because they're human and we're human and we're no better or worse than they were. But we are living in different days. Because if we go back to our Bible history, let's remind ourselves, they are living at the very beginning of the Bible, the book of Exodus, the second book in. They're living in days where a very, very select few people, like Moses,
are chosen to hear from God.
And if you remember, when they went out into the wilderness, they had the tent of meeting. And Moses went into the tent, and the cloud came down, which represented the presence of God. And God spoke to Moses face to face. And then Moses came out, and he told all the other thousands of people what God had said. That's how it worked. And then as we move our way through the Old Testament, we find other very select individual people who are chosen, often judges, often prophets, to hear from God and to tell everybody else what God has said. But the rest of the people, the rest of us, we're just sort of bumbling around trying to understand what they're saying to us and trying to believe what they're saying. Fast forward through the Old Testament. Then the New Testament dawns. And incredibly, shockingly, Jesus is born. God, in human form, walking around on the earth, and people, everyday people, for the first time, they can see and they can hear what God is saying. Not everyone, not even the whole of the nation, just that area where Jesus was, because of course he was human. He could only be in one place at one time. And these few that saw and that heard, their minds were blown, because what God said in Jesus was so different to what the Pharisees and the teachers had taught them. And some believed and some didn't believe, and we know they killed him. But then, after Jesus' ascension, we have the miracle, the outrageous miracle of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit descended again, but this time into the hearts and the lives of normal, sinful, trip over their feet, everyday people. And finally their eyes are opened. And they can see and they can hear God through this gift of the Spirit. We are still living in the days of Pentecost. We still have this incredible gift that those first Israelites would never even have presumed to have imagined: God within us. How can we see God in the streets of Haverhill? Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And what difference does it make when God's people see and hear him through the work of the Spirit? In Acts 2, the early church is described to us just after Pentecost, and this is what it says. "All of the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, not just the church. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." What would that look like in Haverhill? So firstly, God sees and hears us. Secondly, he invites us to see and hear what he is doing amongst us. And finally, a challenge. I wonder, as we go about our daily lives, are our eyes and ears open to the needs of other people that we come across? As we walk down the street,
or as we ride on the bus, or as we shop at the supermarket, are we alert to the cries of the people around us, whether spoken or unspoken? I've been convicted about this. Am I like the princess who was willing to be extravagantly kind, even when it was potentially costly? And don't get me wrong, I know that life is busy. Many of us are working hard to honour God and to look after our families, and those are things that God, you know, loves. And I also know that the gospel isn't always readily received in our communities. Like the Israelites, we live in times that seem hard sometimes. They seem even godless. But from this story, I am choosing to take with me this week a challenge. And I would encourage you to do the same. And the thing that keeps popping into my head, hopefully this will help and not distract you, is you remember when the government were doing those road safety adverts with the hedgehogs? Do you remember those? I particularly remember the King of the Road one because it was just on TV when I was a teenager, and you know they sang the song to help kids to remember when they're crossing the road. But also their slogan, stop, look, listen. Do you remember that? Very handy for road safety, short, to the point, easy to remember. But I would like us to nick it and put it in a different context. And this week, as we're going about our daily things, let's remember to stop and look and listen to what's going on around us. Do we see? Do we hear? Do we have compassion? And do we act with extravagant kindness? As far as we're aware, Pharaoh's daughter didn't follow God. She wasn't trying to please God necessarily with her actions toward baby Moses. But we know that God knew her. We know that God knew Moses and Jochebed and all the other people that were in their lives. We also know that God is able to use the most unexpecting and unexpected people, even you and me. God sees and he hears us. He has compassion and he acts on our behalf. He also invites us to see and hear so that inexplicably, somehow, through us, our nation can be saved. He's done it before, and he can do it again. Let's pray. Gracious God, in your mercy, would you forgive our blindness? Open our eyes, open our ears. Help us to hear and to respond to what your Spirit is whispering into our hearts. As we continue in worship now, help us, Father, to know ourselves known by you. We are seen, we are heard by our compassionate God. And we pray it for your glory. Amen.